Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Friday, we're live in beautiful Gallatin, Tennessee at Tennessee Precious Metals. We've been all over the place this week. It's been quite a bit of fun to do that. But right now we continue our Titans discussions with the one and only, forever Titans wide receiver, Christopher Dwayne Sanders, who joins us now on the program. Also, yes. Assistant coach at the Montgomery Bell Academy. It was a tough one tonight against Pearl Cone.
Man, it is. I mean, they got a tough team. They're fast. They're physical. They got a great head coach with Bernetti. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, we got a new offense. We got a new head coach. And, you know, it's the sky's the limit of what's going to happen tonight.
Well, we're looking forward to it. So, and I know it's kind of a new – do you call it a new era for NBA with a new coach?
It's not really a new era. We still do the things the same. It's just a new head coach. And the coach that's the head coach now, he was a defensive coordinator last year. So we still had the same foundation. We still had the same identity. But the offense is going to look totally different tonight. So I'm excited, man. I'm a little nervous. I'm kind of, you know, wondering what's going to happen. But, man, it's just football is here, and I'm so excited, man.
Well, we're excited for you.
Thank you.
It's certainly going to be a lot of fun. Cam Ward will make his Nissan Stadium game debut tonight against the Minnesota Vikings. And what I said a few minutes ago, Chris, is I want to see how he feeds off. And it's not going to be like a regular season crowd, but there are people that are going to this game that are excited to see him. I want to see how he feeds off of that, how they feed off of him, and see if that can turn into a touchdown drive early on.
I agree. I mean, he's a leader. I mean, even when you have the defenses chirping at him and also cheering for him, I mean, you want to have a guy like that. And then you get into a stadium where you might not have a big crowd, but you're still going to feed off the crowd. Because the thing about it is he's one of those guys that's going to entertain. He's going to bring some oomph that the Tennessee Titans need. But here's what I want to see from Cam. I want to see that drive, the drive, where they're backed up at the 20-yard line. They have 11-play drive. The offensive line is blocking. The receivers are making plays. He's making right decisions. You know, we've seen a little splash against Atlanta. We've seen a splash against the other teams. But I want to see him have a long drive to where he actually is taking control of the offense. I understand that he's made plays here and there, but I want to see that drive, the drive, that solidifies it that he's our guy.
Our man Chris Sanders is with us. Dr. Crane, you ready?
Yes, go.
Just simple, man. Just simple.
Get jiggy with it. That's the man, that's the jam.
Just for you, buddy. Old school today.
Hold on. Can you dance to that song?
I'm dancing right now. It's on the stream. If you could watch, I'm doing it right now.
Damn. You got two left knees. It wouldn't look right.
I'm doing the air walk, man. You can watch it.
I used to know every word of that song back in the day.
The air walk?
Yeah, it's a new dance style now where you like you got to hold like your left leg up, and then when it's going down, you like hop on your right. I watched it today. I'm like, what the hell are we doing now with this?
I don't know.
It's called the air walk.
I'll need some oxygen after that. I got two bad knees. I don't know if I can do that, man.
All right, so take me back to August 5th, 1995.
Oh, my gosh.
The first time preseason game, but
oh
the first
gosh.
Time you played at the Houston Astrodome. What was that like? Because Cam Ward's going through that tonight.
Right.
Same emotions. What was it like for you?
It was surreal. I mean, and it really didn't hit me until I walked into the stadium and I saw my nameplate, Chris Sanders. I saw my shoulder pads. I saw my helmet. I saw my cleats. Then I sat in my locker, and I just started to reminisce. Man, I've made it. I was nervous. I was kind of afraid. I didn't want to make mistakes. But I knew that I had to go out and make plays. I had to go out to where the coaches can trust me. So when I went out there, yes, I was nervous. Yes, I was afraid. But I had to go out there and make plays. And they have a situation with Cam Ward to where – he's going to feel the nerves. He's going to see his stuff in the locker, and it's going to be surreal. But what the one thing that he has to do is he has to control his emotions. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Just say, okay, you know what? I've been here before. I've done this. I know it's at a different place, but I'm ready for the task at hand, and that's what I want to see from Cam Ward.
I don't know if you remember this guy or not. Brian Kinchin played for the Baltimore Ravens and the Browns.
Yes, I do.
He said one time, for every game, he'd walk out to the locker room and for 15 seconds would do a 360, soak it in, and be done with it. I mean, and I get it. I mean, because you think Cam Ward tonight should do that? Kind of like, all right, like you talk about, not that I've made it, but like this journey has brought me here now.
You know, but see, here you said the key word, the journey. see, people don't understand. Everybody sees the results, but they don't see the journey. When he didn't have a situation in his home where he got, where he transferred to different schools, where nobody knew who he was until he got drafted with, you know, with the Tennessee Titans. So now it's time to reminisce and look back and say, you know what? The journey was hard. The tears were worth it. The blood and sweat, getting laughed at, saying you weren't a good quarterback, getting critiqued and all these things. Now you look back and say, man, the journey was worth it, because now I'm in Nissan Stadium to show my talent that I can play in this league. It's just so, so surreal.
As some famous person said, everybody's jealous of where you are. Nobody's jealous of how you got there.
Whoa, say that. Say that again. Wow. That's so good.
Everybody's jealous of where you are. Woo. Nobody's jealous of how you got there.
Wow.
That's why you win.
Woo. See, that man, I might use that because that's so powerful. They don't know the sacrifice that you make, that you have to get up at 4:30 in the morning and then go to meetings and then go get yelled at, get cussed out by a coach. And then all of a sudden you play 16 games and then you play 4 preseason games. Nobody knows the journey. Nobody saw the tears where you wanted to give up. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. In 1995, they started, it was my senior season at Ohio State, and they started a junior in front of me because they were mad because I ran track. So now I'm flying back from Fresno State because I wanted to quit. I said, I'm completely done. I don't want to do this anymore. But then I get home, a situation happens, and I get back in the starting rotation. Then all of a sudden, a guy that didn't have any touchdowns until his senior year ended up with 8. And then he gets drafted in 1995, and then he makes the all-rookie team, and then he leads the league with 23 yards for .5. And then the next year, he does the same thing.
Woo!
And then he goes to the Super Bowl. That's the journey.
Yeah,
that's the pain. That's the love. That's why you sit back and you see when guys get drafted or they win a Super Bowl, the tears start to run down their eyes. Why? Because the journey wasn't as easy as what people think.
Chris Sanders is with us. Man, I always feel better when I talk to you.
Get it!
You know, Jeffrey Simmons this week said he would like to play in a preseason game. Others have said that. Did you just to get the warm-up, did you need that? Did you feel like – and I know it was different. There was 4 as opposed to 3. But did you like having a series or two in a preseason game just to kind of get that game feel?
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. It ain't that I needed to. It's that I wanted to.
Why? Yeah.
I understand people don't want to get hurt. I completely understand that. But I love football. I love being in the game. So I would have to tell Coach Stegall sometimes, hey, Coach Stegall, can I stay in the game? He's like, no, I need you to get out, because I wanted to play. But I wanted to be ready when day one came. I wanted to be ready. I wanted my routes to be crisp. I wanted to, get the speed of the game. I wanted to get hit in the game, because I wanted to be out there. You didn't have to tell me about going to a preseason game. Why? Why would I get to that situation and stop working? You didn't have to ask me to do that.
Yeah. And I think that's – I think that's Jeff. I mean, I think Jeff's like going to coaches, going, "Hey, put me in. I want to play. I want to hit somebody that other than Cam Ward."
So. Yeah, exactly. But see, here's the thing that we see. Have you noticed that the first game, a lot of your older guys get hurt? Why? Because all they do is practice. Then you get into a game. You're trying to do a full game, but you haven't prepared to do a full game. So it's so many things you can do. But then on the flip side, you have a coach to protect your big player. So I absolutely understand that.
By the way, I'm looking at the 95 preseason schedule that you played with the Oilers. You're one of the few players in the history of football that has played at Ohio State and at Neyland Stadium. Your second preseason game was against the Redskins. That's also – isn't that the game where Floyd discovered Wycheck? That's also the game, if I remember correctly – that's also when Bud Adams was leaked out about you guys coming to Tennessee. There's a lot happening that. I want to know what's better, your dumb horseshoe or beautiful Neyland Stadium? Which one? Tell us right now.
Oh, man, the horseshoe's the best, man. Come on, you know that.
No,
you
I can't.
You can't come in a horseshoe.
I got it. You've been to both.
Oh, my. I've been to both, but I like both stadiums. But you know what's so funny about that game? I'll never forget it. And that's what put me in a position to play. We were playing the Redskins, just like you said. And Coach Stegall came to me. He said, Chris, he said, they're thinking about putting you on scout team. He said, you need to do something to make the coach be like, I got to have this guy out there. So I remember it was fourth and 17, and we're backed up on our side. And he said, go for it, Coach, go for it. Chris Chandler, oh, I can't remember the quarterback. The quarterback throws me a curl. I catch it, and I spin, and I run for 40, and the whole sideline goes bananas.
Woo!
bananas. So that play right there solidified me from being the third wide receiver to starting the third and fourth game. Why? Because of that one scrimmage.
Oh, I love it. See, you come on this show with Chase and I, and you feel 21 again.
You do.
What about 20? Can we say 20?
No, you weren't good at 20. 21, you were good.
Chris, we appreciate it as always. Best of luck to the Big Red tonight against Pearl Cone. I hope everybody's safe, but I hope it's a fun game and all of that. So I know you're looking forward to it.
Man, I appreciate it, man. Thank y'all so much. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. Chris Sanders joining us here on the program, as he always does every Friday at 1 o'clock, and I always feel better talking to Chris.
Oh, man, because he just loves kids and loves football, and that what a winning combination.
Coming up next, it is finally happening. 9 games in the SEC. We'll discuss that next. Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're live at Tennessee Precious Metals in Gallatin here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Here on this Friday, we're at Tennessee Precious Metals in Gallatin, meeting the fine folks of Gallatin that are coming in here.
Fine folks.
The SEC will expand to 9 conference games starting next year. We figured this was coming at some point, but that is they finally have got there. And in addition to this, they'll be required to schedule at least one additional high-quality non-conference opponent from the ACC, Big Ten, or Big 12, or Notre Dame each season.
Look, 9 games, we all want to see it. I feel bad now. Some of the group of 5 teams will be squeezed out. Some of the FCS schools will be squeezed out. That playing at Georgia, Alabama, and getting a $2 million paycheck really helps your program compete.
Well, you can guarantee 2 of those games each year will be against a group of 5, but
yeah, I get it. And then FCS, mainly those schools will be cut out of all this. Nine games, do I want to see Alabama play Kentucky instead of Alabama playing Troy? Yeah, sure. Everybody does. I get it. I understand it. I'll go the way. I just wonder now, is this, you know, now you're following the Big Ten, you got 9 games, and you know, what's this leading to? I mean, there's a destination here that's going on, and I think you're looking at 3 massive super conferences, and that'll be down the line. But for now, you got the 3 teams you got to face.
Commissioner Greg Sankey said, quote, adding a 9th SEC game underscores our university's commitment to delivering the most competitive football schedule in the nation. This format protects rivalries, increases competitive balance, and paired with our requirement to play an additional power opponent, ensures SEC teams are well-prepared to compete and succeed in the college football playoff, end quote. They will have 3 protected opponents every year, basically.
So if you're Vandy, you want the Vols, Kentucky, and Missouri.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Ole Miss was one that they played a lot back in the day, but I would say those 3. And if you're Tennessee, probably Alabama, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky.
On 3 Sports is predicting that Vanderbilt's 3 opponents will be Auburn, Tennessee, and Mississippi State.
Okay.
Tennessee's opponents will be Alabama, Florida, and Vanderbilt. And Alabama, ouch, Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU. So, good, but who knows?
Tennessee's wouldn't be Kentucky. It'd be Florida instead of Kentucky?
Yep. It's funny because Kentucky's biggest rival in football is Tennessee. Vanderbilt's biggest rival is Tennessee. Tennessee, we've had this discussion before. Tennessee fans, who's your bigger rival, Florida or Alabama? Because from those that I know, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Who's bigger, Alabama or Florida? Now, in the 90s, Florida. Saban era, Alabama.
Yeah.
So what is it now? What's your rival? What's your main rival, Tennessee fans? Is it Florida or is it Alabama?
I want to know how much – like, I'm old school. So, you know, I miss Tennessee Auburn. I would miss seeing Georgia every year. I know Vols fans wouldn't. But,
right.
But, I mean, like, how much do you care about these protected rivalries?
I do.
If you're a Tennessee or Vanderbilt fan.
If I'm a Tennessee fan, I need to see Alabama and Florida. Yeah,
hang on, go back. Florida's is Georgia, Tennessee, and Oklahoma?
Predicted on 3 Sports, yeah.
Huh, interesting.
Right? So
I put, like, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina.
K Kentucky has got Georgia, Mississippi State, and South Carolina. Kentucky's like that scene in Animal House when they go to the frat party and they walk in and they take them to the other room. I don't know if you've probably seen Animal House. Those have said, Preston's seen it. You know exactly what I'm talking. If you're driving in the car, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Kentucky shows up to the party. Everybody's in there, and they're like, hey, come on, meet you somebody else. And they take him to a room where, like, all the nerds are in the second room. So Kentucky, that's where you are, Kentucky football. That's Animal House, not me.
Yeah.
That's where you guys are.
Ben says, now Vandy will miss a bowl game 90% of the time, at least.
Well, I mean, you got Mississippi State in there, so who knows, man?
So how does this work? Because some of these schedules are already done, right, for 2026.
Yes.
So let me look.
Is one school getting cut a check that's going to be off the schedule?
Potentially. So right now, this is what's listed for Vandy's 2026. They're okay. Austin Peay, Delaware, and then NC State. NC State's the power.
That's Vanderbilt?
Yeah, okay. And then their SEC schedule. So they're okay.
Yeah, okay.
Tennessee. Let's look at Tennessee. Because, like, most of these, you know, have already kind of done
right.
This. Tennessee, Furman at Georgia Tech, and then Kennesaw State. So they're good.
Wait. At Kennesaw State?
At Georgia Tech.
Okay. At Georgia. Okay, good. I was about, at Kennesaw State? No, please no. Yeah. So, I mean, you got to drop off. One's got to drop off. Because you got nine.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have
right.
Four non-conference. Yeah, right. So, one's got to drop off somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
So, do you cut a check to him now? I guess you would.
Yeah, probably.
And say, hey, here's what's happening, man.
So, either Furman or Kennesaw State's coming off.
Yes. Yeah, that would be it.
And then Vandy, either Delaware or Austin Peay.
Yeah, I hate that. I like to see the Austin Peay go to Vandy. I don't know. I'm a big fan of that stuff because Austin Peay like opens at middle this year, so I like that stuff.
Yeah. So it isn't. It's certainly going to be interesting, but I'm curious of the protected opponents and what people, you know, who people want. Do people care? Like, 2133 says, I say Florida, but I'm biased. Huge fan of James Wilhoit kicking the game winner against Florida after he missed prior. He was actually our special teams coach at Mount Juliet High School. Now, am I right in saying before 93, Florida and Tennessee didn't play every year, right?
That is true. They played in 85. Tennessee got beat 17-10. Florida won the SEC. They're on probation. Tennessee got to go to the Sugar Bowl. They didn't play again until – because I don't think Emmett played Tennessee. He was there from 86 to – he was there 87 to 89. Kerwin Bell, I don't think he played them then. And then they started the rivalry back up in 90 or 91 that started. And, of course, when they had the divisions in 92, they played then. And then I don't think they ever lost. I mean, like, Werfel never lost to Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, and funny, Peerless Price, I saw an interview. He's like, we only lost one conference game, and it was always Florida always beat us going
right.
on. So I'd like to see that. But it's – happens, you know, when a team's hot or not, but keep, if you're Tennessee, keep Florida and Alabama there, and of course you'll have to keep Vanderbilt as well. So
what if you did a, you know, three protected, and then I don't know how you'd pull this off, but there's a fourth that's kind of like a, you have a more of a rotation than you would with the other games, if that makes sense.
Well, isn't it they're guaranteed to play the others every 2 years?
I think
you're guaranteed to play every – you don't go 3 years without playing somebody else. It'll be every 2 years.
Well,
that
works. Because, I mean, like, I do want to see, like, Tennessee-Texas.
Yeah, right.
Texas A&M, you know, Tennessee and South Carolina. I mean, that was weird, them not being on the schedule, you know, last year. So, but, I mean, look, we all knew this was coming. So, who's the last power that doesn't have nine games? ACC?
I don't – maybe. They have seven? I don't know how many they've moved on. Everything changes, like, all the time that goes on.
It is the SEC and the Big Ten will both have nine games, followed by the Big 12. The Big Ten and Big 12 already played nine conference games. So, yes, ACC plays eight.
I'll just root even harder for a group of five team to come in there and beat some of these big boys. I love it. Let's get the opportunity to go in there and get it done.
Yeah, So it's interesting. Do you buy Sankey saying that it's going to help them be more prepared for the college football playoff, or was that just a, hey, I'm just going to throw this line in here?
I think so. Look, I've told you this. When we interviewed Sankey at Media Days, I felt sorry for him. I mean, he looked – that was day two.
He looked tired.
He looked exhausted, like, oh, God. Give him up. I mean, he came and talked to everybody on Radio Row and everybody that was there, but yep. You could just tell, like, all right, this is – I'm taking on a lot. So I don't really feel sorry for him in that sense because he wanted all this, and now it's happening, and it's here. So they'll play the nine and then go forward from there. And so it'll change. It seems like it's changing every year now.
Yep. Coming up next, we're going to talk to our friend Tatum Everett, of course, long time at Fox 17, now with the Minnesota Vikings. We'll get her thoughts on the Vikings and what we can expect tonight against the Titans. It's Chase and Big Joe here on this Friday at Tennessee Precious Metals in Gallatin, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of that $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate them as always. We're at Tennessee Precious Metals here in Gallatin. Our man Preston's going to come on with us here in a few minutes.
Yeah, I mean, this place.
Tell us more about
this place is great. I mean, he's got so many cool things here, and every time I walk over to the cabinet, he's right there next to me.
Well, that's probably smart. He's making sure you're not touching anything.
Right. Oh, it's really cool. And that's what's cool about Gallatin's little small towns. There's all these cool little stores and shops around the square, and Gallatin is no different. My mother grew up here, so it was really cool.
Let's say hello to an old friend. Tatum Everett is with us. She was at Fox 17 for quite a bit, now with the Minnesota Vikings, and was nice enough to give me her tickets a few weeks ago, so I got to check out beautiful U.S. Bank Stadium, which was awesome. Tatum, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
We're fantastic. We're just hanging out here in Gallatin, but excited to see that purple football team come to Nashville tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm super pumped. Already caught up with some old friends for brunch this morning, and just kind of enjoying the day, which is so weird to say because I usually feel like, 7 o'clock kickoff, preseason three. It's a bit of a wait.
So when I was there against Houston, we saw J.J. McCarthy. I would assume we'll not see him tonight. Is that correct?
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
So what is kind of the plan with the starters or any of the starters playing tonight?
I think you'll see a few, but I don't think you'll see a majority of them by any stretch of the imagination. This team is pretty prepared to roll out their starters for the season opener, and that's kind of it. I mean, if you think about it, like some of their starters haven't even seen the field at all. I think the reason that you saw what you did is just because J.J. McCarthy, not a rookie, but also has never, hasn't played in a while. So that was kind of the whole point. But they felt like their practices against the New England Patriots in joint practice last week were really beneficial to see the starters, the ones against the ones from a different an opposing team. So, you're not going to see it, but there's a lot of roster battles going on and a lot of guys who have a lot to prove in this game, some decisions to be made, next week. So, They're really excited to see, what can unfold behind these starters.
You know how big high school football is here. I would assume we might see Jordan Mason and Ty Chandler tonight.
Okay, so you will probably not see Jordan Mason.
Okay.
My guess is that he will not be playing, but you will see Ty Chandler. Ty is actually in a battle for that number three running back spot behind Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason. The team loves Ty. Obviously, they drafted him. And they love what he can do. He really adds a nice facet to the special teams unit, which is actually one of the more interesting things about this team is they don't really have a set kick or punt returner yet. They're still, figuring all that out here in the preseason. So Ty is also someone that knows the system really, really well. There is another running back, Xavier Scott. You'll see a lot of Xavier Scott. He is from the University of Maine, kind of a guy who's been on our practice squad. So he's had a really, really good camp, and he is a former receiver. So he is built a little bit differently, but a really exciting player to watch. Ty's definitely in a competition, but, he might be quiet, but he's one of the favorite guys around here.
Tatum, how are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
It's good. You want to talk LSU football for the next hour?
You know, it's funny. I always will be able to talk about LSU football, but I'm actually going to Clemson next week. It's our, you know, one weekend of the NFL I won't have a matchup. So I'm going to Clemson for the first time.
Nice.
Seeing the other Death Valley. Hopefully it turns, you know, the right Tigers win. I don't really know. LSU seems to lose a lot of season openers recently. So hoping for the best because I don't want to have to be crying in Clemson.
I love it. Hopefully, I'm with you. I hope they go in there and they stick it to Dabo. Real quick, one other player that's got Nashville ties, Theo Jackson, went to Overton High School. How's he doing?
Oh, my gosh. Theo's having such a great camp. And the really cool thing about that storyline is, like, Theo has always been a guy that this team absolutely adores. They signed him after Tennessee released him. I think he was on the Titans practice squad the year before he came here. Mm-hmm. And he's just a gadget player. Like, there's this position in Brian Flores' defensive scheme called the X-Man, and it's basically like a Mr. Everything. Like, Theo even told me when he was at Tennessee, he played a similar role because while he was with the Volunteers, he played, like, every position on the defense except nose tackle. So, like, that wealth of knowledge and versatility has really fared well for Theo in this scheme. And with the departure of Cam Bynum, he has really solidified his role as a starter. I mean, he'll be kind of like that X-Man when Josh Metellus isn't out there, because Josh Metellus runs that same X-Man role. But, like, it's going to be really exciting to see because you have Harrison Smith, you have Josh Metellus, and now you have Theo Jackson kind of filling in that third safety guy back there when they do, like, the three safety sets and stuff. And so I think Tennessee fans should be super pumped about Theo's future in the Vikings for this year.
Yeah, just another Titans player who's off to another team doing well. We love that. Tatum, I got to apologize to you. Remember one day you and I were at Titans camp, you're at Fox 17, I'm at Channel 4, and Vrabel spoke. And then you asked me, you said, are you going to go in the locker room and get player interviews? Remember what I told you that day?
Honestly, no, but I can only imagine.
I said, hell no, I don't care what they say, I'm out of here. And I felt like I was a bad influence because you, like, followed me out. You're like, yeah, I'm tired too, I want to leave. So always,
oh,
I felt
– I'm easily influenced, easily influenced.
So I'm so proud of where you are now.
Well, you know, it's so interesting you brought that up because I have just, like, thought, like, I would have covered the team – in a much different way had I known what the heck I was doing. I did not know the first thing about covering an NFL team when I moved there. And so I was just doing what everyone else was doing instead of just, like, thinking on my own for a little bit.
Right.
And then I just got kind of, like, in that routine. But now being on this side, I'm like, man, I could have done this. I could have do this. And, like, I think I was just a little too intimidated. Then I'm like, wow, these are, like, why am I intimidated? I don't know. I guess the team side has changed me.
Good.
Yeah, for the better, but I understand what you're saying. Like, I also am in that business where I talk to players all the time and I get the same things over and over again sometimes. So I understand what you're trying to say and what you did. I don't think it was wrong.
Right, good.
Tatum Everett is with us. I got to ask you, I've seen the rumors out there. Could Adam Thielen return to the Minnesota Vikings? I know that rumor is out there that Carolina could trade him.
Well, you know, I can't actually speak on that, right?
Well, that's true, yeah.
For the team. I think it's an exciting rumor. I think it's a natural rumor when you see Jordan Addison out for the first three games this season serving the suspension time. You see Jalen Naylor having an injury at camp, who is kind of like that number three receiver. Justin has been practicing with the team this week, but he had previously been out of camp rep for 25 days. So, like, I do understand, like, the rumors are coming from a place of, like, this, there could be a position, it's a position of need, and it's a hometown guy and all this kind of stuff. There hasn't been any moves towards that I know of. I think they're really excited about a lot of the guys that are in that room. They may not have, like, a big-time name like Adam Thielen, but these guys have been, several of them have been in the system for a couple of years. Like, waiting in the wings because you've got these, like, two amazing receivers. And so I think they feel super confident in who they have, but I do understand where the rumors come from. And, you know, hey, if Adams comes back to Minnesota, he's a nice guy. I wouldn't mind having him around.
How about this question? Have you seen Adam Thielen around Minneapolis?
No, I have not.
Okay, all right.
Also, I'm not really hanging around in all the spots, so I'm going to have to have a homebody.
All right, good.
Yeah. Tatum, we appreciate the time. Enjoy Nashville and getting to catch up with people, and we will talk to you very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you all so much. It's great to hear your voices.
Absolutely. Tatum Everett joining us here on the program with the Minnesota Vikings, and, of course, used to be at Fox 17 as well. We'll have more on the Titans and Vikings and the SEC and all those things coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Coming up tonight, it is the debut of the Nashville Public Schools High School Game of the Week. Looking forward to that as I'll be on the call alongside Coach Bubba Spears. Nick Frazier will be on the sidelines. And we'll have a jar that says that we put a quarter in every time I call him Dr. Crane, because that will probably happen.
Well, now here's a problem that we got in our city. Who's the cutest sideline reporter? Is it our friend Dawn Davenport, or is it Dr. Crane?
That's a tough one.
I'm going Dr. Crane right now because he's our producer.
I think Dr. Crane wins because he hangs out with us, right. And Dawn hangs out with Brent and Ron Slay. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm honored. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
We love them.
Both equally talented. So
yes,
it'll be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
So proud of you, Dr. Crane.
Thank you.
Yeah,
guys.
This is going to be fun. And I am excited to say, you know, at the beginning of the broadcast, let's check in with a third member of our team, yes. Nick Frazier, down on the sidelines. Nick, what you got?
Energy is high down here on the sideline, looking at a few things out there. Double coverage is looking pretty for the most part, explosive on the defensive side of the ball. The run game has been incredible. A lot of RPO action. Back up to you, Chase.
Hey, that was good. All right, we got something.
Lord, it's like you're getting a Miss America question. Describe
well,
the offense.
Well, you know, like at the beginning of the game before kickoffs, like, well, I talked to Coach Simpson a few minutes ago, and
who was
da,
it?
Da, da, da.
Yeah, who was it that made stuff up? It was a female, remember?
Oh yeah,
she didn't talk
for the Gamblets.
No. It was a professional.
Oh, Carissa Thompson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't do that, Dr. Crane.
Yeah. Absolutely no, but not.
That's right.
We did have an intern for the Game Blitz that made stuff up.
Do you remember that she missed the kickoff because somebody was like banging on her car window and she was scared?
Oh, yeah.
And she was hiding in her car.
Okay,
and I was like,
wait.
Oh, man.
We had two people because I was thinking of somebody else that was a guy.
Oh, yeah.
That
those were the good old days.
That was the funniest thing.
Of the Game Blitz.
We had someone that was an intern, and Joe asked for a score for – I forgot who it was like
– It was Ampipe, the Tom Cruise movie, all
no,
the right
you're, moves. You're combining stories because there are a lot of stories. You asked for a legitimate score, and he couldn't find it, so he made one up and gave it to you.
Oh, was it that Matt guy?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Then I asked our friend Victoria, I need the score between Ampipe and Central.
Yeah.
She spent hours. Finally, she said, Joe, I can't find this score. I'm like, it's Ampipe. I mean, they got Georgievic, the safety. I mean, he's going to Furman. You know this. And finally, I was like, Victoria, I made those scores up. They're from a movie. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's like sometimes Sunzo and I would give scores, and we go, Coach Boone's got it going down there.
That's right, that Matt kid. Because I would look at the scores after on the TBLBSAA. I'm like, these are all wrong. And he's like, yeah, I went. I was like, what are you looking at, 1950? He had no idea. God bless that, Matt. Matt, we love you, man, but that was terrible. God almighty.
I remember when we finally figured it out, like, he's either making this up or looking at the wrong thing.
Was. I think he gave us a score one time was like, I don't know, like 9-1. I'm like, no, this isn't right. What's going on here?
Well, and I think Whew. I think where we finally figured it out is he gave a school that didn't exist anymore. Like it was a high school that had closed or something or changed names.
I just don't know his mindset of where he went and got this.
It was hilarious.
Interns are the best. When they try to do way too much and they do way too much, it isn't good. And it's just, we've all been there. I mean, I was an intern, you're an intern, Dr. Crane's an intern. We're all at some point we're an intern, and I get trying to get the edge, but man, that was something else.
I was an intern during the sports revolution.
Sorry about that. You've done quite well for yourself, despite being on that show.
Some people would say I haven't, but some would say that I have. So.
Foolish people.
By the way, did you see last night Vrabel was asked about, I guess, a player. A report had gotten out that a player was going to have season-ending surgery. the team hadn't announced it, Vrabel hadn't announced it, and he got asked about it, and can you add any more on that? And he said no. And there was a pause, and they started to move on. He goes, but I'm going to find out who the rats are around here, and we're going to take care of that.
Ooh, I like that.
Like he, because clearly somebody within the Patriots has been leaking something.
Oh,
and
man.
And we all know Vrabel doesn't care for that.
Hey, did we ever figure out who was in his bathroom on draft night?
It was his son. It was like his son's friend, but he wasn't actually doing what everybody thought he was
doing. That's just the weirdest
thing
I've ever seen associated with professional football. Wasn't he wearing like an Avoid the Noid Domino's pizza
something.
Costume?
I mean, look, let's just be honest. COVID was just entertaining in some ways. Right. Like Roger Goodell sitting in his basement.
I was actually – the draft was fun.
Yeah.
Because it was so different that went on that way. So it made me laugh to go back to all that. But, no, I mean, Vrabel, I mean, again, you know, outside noises getting inside to the locker room, things are going on. I don't think Vrabel should be concerned about that.
Paul Kuharsky has put out who will be out for the Titans tonight. Ooh. Ridley, Zeitler, Pollard, Cushenberry, Latham, Sweat, Winston, Spears, Landers, Snead, Rakes. I don't know who that is.
I mean, neither.
Rikus.
So that's all. So
Latham's out too.
Is Simmons on that list? I'm sorry. Did you say that?
He is not.
Okay.
So I guess Simmons got his way, and he's going to play tonight.
Why isn't Latham playing?
I don't know.
He
needs
all the work.
Banged up or what?
God.
So. But that is who is out. Bob wants to weigh in on high school football real quick. Bob, what's up?
Hey guys, how are y'all today?
We're good.
Hey, real quick, Joe, you're bringing up, you gave that poor girl that bogus game van pipe and everything.
Yeah.
I know you both know Paul pretty good. And when Paul used to be on a competing station, I don't know if you ever heard about this. They used to do the Mantateo High School Game of the Week. Did y'all ever hear about this thing?
No.
So what they would do is they would give Paul four high school games that week, and he had to figure out which one was a bogus high school game. And they'd make it the most elaborate names. But some of these teams that they claim, you'd be like, what school? No, that's bogus. It's a real school in Tennessee. Y'all know Paul. Reach out to him. We don't know y'all want to do it. But
all right.
It was the high school Mantateo game of the week.
Oh, I like that. That's pretty cool. I know I need to know more about that. That's funny because that –
yeah, I will definitely remember it.
Yeah, you get names like that. In fact, we got a segment coming up we're going to do here in a week or two about names. Are they real or not? So stick around for that, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate the call. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little sports betting. Obviously, we were up at Circa earlier this week and had a lot of fun there. And we'll tell you a little bit more about what they have going on. Dave Ross is going to join us from VSiN. I'll get some college football thoughts and others with him. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.